something the blessings of God. Because they're not blessing God in the first place. Life is too busy. Responsibilities are heavy. Our thoughts are consumed with day-to-day living. Sometimes I might say too much. We were up at the resort the other night, and we never watched television. Just turned on, what's on? It's a cable television. And we turned it on. Matt and I were sitting there looking. There's no ESPN, so there's nothing to watch. There's absolutely nothing on any channels to watch when there's no sports, at least for the Leafly household. And so I think Matt gave up and went to bed, and Sonia was sitting out there with me, and I turned on, I remember what, I think it was Dancing with the Stars. It was some kind of dance thing. And I was just enthralled. I was mesmerized. I was sucked in. You know what? You know why? I was thinking, people watch this. People spend hours of their life watching it. And that's what was mesmerized. That's what had me so enthralled. As I sat there thinking, people actually watch this. So we flipped the other channel to The Voice. We switched the other to, I don't know what the other ones, and they're all the same show. They're all on there. And I'm thinking, people spend hours of their day watching this. We went up to the section where the swimming pool is. And we're sitting there eating lunch, and there's some other people in there, and they're watching television. I don't know what it was. Was it Judge Judy? It was some judge. You know, people up there, and they're solving cases and all this, and there's a bunch of folks over there watching it, and they were laughing, getting their kicks out of it. This is going to sound mean, hard. You judge me. Go ahead. I don't care. They were handicapped people. They were mentally. It was a mentally handicapped group. And they were getting a kick out of this TV show that's on in the daytime. That convinced me I don't ever want to like that stuff. I don't ever want to be in the mentality to think that's entertainment and that's good stuff. Now, folks, I said all that to say this, and I know that's an extreme. Some people aren't being blessed by God because they don't spend any time blessing God. You know why? They're getting that stuff. Their lives are caught up on that stuff. And they're, you know, you see an email, you see somebody and say, oh, I'm so disappointed, so-and-so got cut. And I thought, he got cut? What's the matter? And then I'm thinking, okay, well, the Indians, they must have cut him from the roster. No, it was somebody that didn't make the cut on one of those TV shows or something like that. And people get all worked up and enthralled in that stuff. And then God's sitting up there in heaven saying, hey, what about me? I'm here. I want to bless you. I want to communicate with you. And we're so wrapped up. And again, I know I'm talking about extreme stuff there. But don't you and I have so many things that just fill our time that we don't take time for God? David said, bless ye the Lord. We can never waste time blessing God. We can never waste time thanking God. And so David puts that emphasis on blessing Him. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said this, may blessed and blessing be two words that describe our lives. Blessed and blessing. Receiving from God, giving to God. Blessing. They ought to be part of our lives. Look, if you would, at this psalm. And again, it's a very short psalm this evening. But notice verse 1 and 2 talk about our blessing God. Verse 3 talks about God blessing us. And wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if we start with blessing Him and then let Him bless us instead of waiting for Him to bless us before we bless Him? David, as he sings the song, which apparently got to the highest step was praising Him. We don't do this. We're not a traditional church. But have you ever heard the doxology before? Praise God to whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You know, that was written in the 17th century for a man that handled troubled teens, troubled boys. He wrote that thing and taught them that to get them to settle down and get them to behave and kind of stuff. That thing's 300 years old. And yet it is the essence of what Psalm 134 is telling us. Praise Him. Bless Him. All of us are to bless Him, are blessing God, giving blessing to God. Notice, first of all, it tells us what we're to do in verse 134. Behold, bless ye the Lord. That's what we're to do. Bless God. That's one of David's favorite phrases. Blessing God. Look back at Psalm 103. Psalm 103. He didn't start there. He starts way back in Psalms. But notice, David had a heart for God. Remember? David is a man after God's own heart. Yes, David's hands got dirty. He messed up and did things he shouldn't have done. But his heart was right with God. And God looked upon the heart. Notice Psalm chapter 103. Notice how it starts. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. David, when he's writing Psalm 103, got caught up with the need to bless God. Look at Psalm 104. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, Thou art very great. We need to praise Him. We need to stop praising. Don't you get sick of what the world praises? Of who the world praises? You know, every once in a while, it'll be some, you know, Tim Tebow comes along and we kind of get a little enjoyment. At least they're praising some of the world. He's even praising someone that's got a good testimony for Christ. But isn't that so rare? Most of the people the world's praising, the Hollywood crowd, the athletic crowd, the political crowd, all got so many dark places and dark things going on. And yet we've got a God that's high and holy and lifted up that daily loadeth us with benefits, and we can't find time to praise Him. David says, praise Him in Psalm 103. Bless Him, he says, in Psalm 104. In fact, 15 times in Psalms, David says, bless the Lord. 15 times, bless the Lord. Two more times, he says, bless ye the Lord. 9 more times, he says, blessed be the Lord. It was David's favorite phrase. That we ought to bless God. Bless Him, David says. Who should bless Him? Verse 1, Psalm 134, verse 1. Bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord. Bless Him, all ye servants of the Lord. You say, well, Pastor, now that narrows it down. Out of the people that are here in church tonight, which one are God's servants? Can I tell you that all of us are? He is the master of all of us, and we are the servants of Him. One thing I've noticed again, I don't know if the other versions do it, but the NIV, every time they come to the Lord and say, Master, even the rich young ruler that came and said, Master, what must I do to inherit? Every time they use the word Master, they change it to teacher. They don't like the word Master for some reason. But we are to be servants to our Master, not to our teacher, servants to our Master. That is what the Lord is to us. He is to be our Lord. He is our Master. And we're to bless Him, all ye servants of the Lord. Keep your place there and look at Romans chapter 12. And I know you're familiar with this verse, and many of you can quote it. And we're going to look at a couple verses that are very obvious. The Bible says that all His servants should praise Him. You say, well, I'm not a pastor. I'm not a missionary. I'm not a Sunday school teacher. I'm not a church bus driver. Everybody that's saved, everybody that's redeemed is saved to serve. Maybe not in the capacity that others, but everybody's saved to serve God. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is what? Your reasonable service. Every Christian is called to give his reasonable service. We are all to be servants of God. Yes, in the Old Testament, the Levites were specially chosen to be those that ministered in the temple. But all of the children of Israel are to be servants to their God. Yes, in the New Testament, God appoints some pastors and teachers and evangelists and these other things. But all of us are called to be servants to our God. Who is it that should praise Him? Bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord. When are we to praise Him? Which by night, which by night. You say, oh, preacher, what are you saying? That we don't have to praise Him during the day? No, you'll find it easy to praise Him during the day. But the Bible says we need to bless Him even at night. Remember Acts chapter 16 when Paul and Silas were thrown into the prison after being whipped and beaten, and at midnight they sang praises to God? That's what blessing God is. You know, tonight when Brother Gary came up and led us in the singing, we weren't singing to one another. We weren't singing to the people in this auditorium. We were singing to God. And God in heaven looks down upon that, and He is blessed by us lifting up our God-given vocal cords. And doesn't matter how good we sing. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Doesn't matter how talented we are in our singing. God is pleased. God is blessed when He sees us lifting Him up in song. That's why when we're singing the songs, it ought not be long-faced and trying to get through the song and hoping it gets over with so we can go on to something else. Those songs are an opportunity to think about the words and speak them with our lips and mean them in our hearts. That's how we bless God. We've got to get more excited about these songs than we do the songs that are out there floating around. When do we bless Him? Well, we bless Him at night. Our praise doesn't cease. The angels in heaven, the 24 elders, deep down day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." Somebody says, "Preacher, what are we going to do when we get to heaven? We're going to praise God." Okay, what are we going to do after that? We're going to praise God. Well, when we're finished with that, what are we going to do? 100 years later, 1,000 years later. And you know, I know what the answer is. It's academic. The answer is we're going to praise God. You say, do you believe that? Yes, I believe that. Do you think you're going to enjoy it? I know I'm going to enjoy it. But it doesn't sound exciting to me right now. I'm being very carnal and very, very honest. It doesn't, you know, I'm going to praise God over and over and over. That sounds like it'd be redundant. But I like reruns. There's a lot of stuff I like to hear more than one time. Sometimes we're getting ready when Jay was here. Sonia and I and Jay would get ready to sing a song. Oh, we've already sang that one before. I said, so what? There's people out there that watched the same Barney Fife for, you know, 33 times. Hearing the song twice isn't going to hurt anything. People like reruns. If it's good, we like reruns. And we need to praise Him. It ought not cease. Our blessing God. What is it? We bless the Lord. Who? All ye His servants. When? By night. Where? Where? That's the question. Verse 130. Psalm 134. Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Where do we bless Him? In His house. Verse 2 says, lift up your hands in the sanctuary. That's what this is, the church auditorium. This is the sanctuary. It's not the Holy of Holies. It's in the Old Testament tabernacle, but it is the place of worship. It's the place of God. My daughter-in-law came in tonight with a cup of coffee in the back. And she snuck back there to my office real quick. She wanted to make sure. I knew she wasn't bringing in the auditorium. She was sneaking back there real quick. I appreciate that. Because this isn't a place for food and drink. It's not the place, and I don't think we got a problem here. But, you know, I've seen visitors come in, younger visitors, and spend time on whatever their electronic gizmos are while the preaching service is going on. And I know, you know, a couple times somebody in here has had their cell phone gone off in the middle of the service. It's embarrassing. We all turn and look and all that. But it wasn't on purpose. It didn't have, you know, sometimes those things happen. But this is the sanctuary. This is a place to worship God. And it ought to be a special place. We're not Catholic. We don't come in here and genuflect. We don't go up and down. You know, Jerry has you sit and sing, then sit down and sing, stand up and sing. Maybe he's part Catholic. I don't know. But we don't overdo this as a holy place, but we need not underdo it either. We need to recognize, you know, the kids start running here, we stop them. They go over and start playing the piano. If they're not old enough or know what they're doing, we stop them from doing that. They're going to do that. They're kids. But you stop them from doing that. Why? Because it's a sanctuary. It's a church. There's plenty of room out there to run. We got a lobby. We got a downstairs. And so the Bible says you ought to praise Him. This is the place to praise God. It's a place to bless Him. When we sing, lift up our voices and bless Him. When we're in here, we're to bless God. We bless Him in the house of the Lord. A lot of folks say they're blessing God, but they don't go to church. On nuts. That's all you can say. On nuts. That's not what the Bible teaches. You can't ignore the place. You can't ignore the thing that God established. You know, the Bible said He set up a day to worship Him. He set up the pastor and the deacons as offices to serve Him. He set up the tithe as the manner of how to give back to Him. He set up the missionary system out of the church of Antioch as a pattern for how to send it. Why did God spend all His time doing that and then mention the word church 119 times in the New Testament for some yahoo to come up and say, well, I believe in God, but I don't think you have to go to church. Well, what Bible are you reading? Don't you find the word church in there? Jesus loved the church and gave Himself for it. And He gave to the church pastors and teachers. And that's talking about the local church. So the Bible says, bless Him in the house of the Lord, in the sanctuary. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. I know you know the verse. And notice something about what precedes the verse. The verse. The verse that non-church-going people don't like. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. It's the one that nails them every time. Here's the argument. I've heard it 1,000 times. The Bible doesn't say you're supposed to go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. That's nowhere in the Bible. My answer is, you're right. You're supposed to go Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. That's what the disciples did in the book of Acts. Every day they went. So we're backslidden. We go Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Some people are even more backslidden because they don't make it even then. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, doesn't say when you're supposed to. It simply says this, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That means that when the church is open and we don't go, that's when we're forsaking it. And when we do that, we're not blessing God. I don't lose any sleep when somebody doesn't make it to a church service. We'll take attendance on Sunday morning. Brother Roy will, Roy Reynolds will count on Sunday morning. And on the way out, he gives me a piece of paper that says the number on it. He also gives one to Linda Dickinson because she keeps a running total all year, every Sunday, and at the end of the year gives me it with the averages and all that kind of stuff on it. And I know Linda does this. On her way home, she's looking at that paper and she's thinking of who wasn't here that morning and counting up how many could have been here if everybody was here. And you can do that, and I think about this sometimes, but I really don't lose any sleep over it. You know why? Because it's the person's loss that's not here, that's not where God wants them to be. And they're not blessing Him so that they can get blessed in return. You know, when preachers talk about their attendance or say we had this many people in church, we're not saying that because we want to build the church or fill the pews or have a high number, but we want Christian people to be obedient to God. And when something else is more important than being obedient to God, God's not going to bless that. So he says in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Now there's a lot of them out there that do that. I don't recommend this, but some Sunday mornings don't go to church and go to Kmart or Walmart and find out how many people are forsaking the assembling of themselves together. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more. We ought to be more faithful as we see the day approaching. You know why I like verse 25? Because it follows verse 22, 23, and 24. Now, I'm not a real big fan of verse 22, verse 23, and verse 24 because I don't like lettuce. And all three of those verses start with lettuce. Verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance. Verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Verse 24, let us consider one another. Let us draw near, let us hold fast, let us consider one another. Where? Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. You know when a Christian misses church, they discourage other people. When a Christian isn't faithful to God, somebody comes and says, oh, where were they today? That's discouraging to other people. The Bible said, let us draw near to God. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Let us consider one another, to provoke unto love and good works. And where is that done? Verse 25, it's done in the church. It's not done at the beach. It's not done at the fishing hole. It's not done at this place. It's done in the church. David said, let's bless him. Where? In the house of the Lord. Let's bless him. Go back to Psalm 134. Bless ye the Lord. Verse 3. Verse 1 and 2 is our blessing God. Verse 3 is God blessing us. If we'll do right by God, God will do right by us. If we do not do right by God, how can we expect God to do anything for us? It's not that he's withholding blessing, he's just not giving it. Psalm 134, verse 3, the Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion. What's the need in your life? What is it that you're asking God to bless you in? We've all got needs. We've all got things, large or small, that we want God to do for us. Regarding our family, maybe. Regarding our finances, I don't know. Regarding our friends. That's what David is talking in the third person. He's telling others, bless ye the Lord. And then he says in verse 3, the Lord bless thee. David's talking about other people. He's wanting others to bless God and wanting others to be blessed by God. That's our desire for one another. That we'll be blessed by God. And what is there anything that God cannot do or provide in blessing us? And the answer, obviously, is no. Look at the book of Jeremiah, chapter 32. Jeremiah, chapter 32. Jeremiah chapter 32. Verse number 27. Start in verse 26. In Jeremiah chapter 32, Jeremiah is complaining to God about his situation. He's complaining about what God called him to do and that people aren't on board with him. You know, Jeremiah, he was told to tell the nation of Israel that when Nebuchadnezzar came, surrender. Don't fight against him. Just go in and God will protect you if you just surrender. And Israel's saying, he's our enemy. You're betraying us. You're a traitor, telling us. And so they threw Jeremiah in a dungeon. And now he's complaining to God about how the way he's being traitor. Lord, I've given your message faithfully and look what I'm getting in turn for it. God, have you forgotten me? God, aren't you going to help me? And notice what it says in verse 26. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Have you ever put God to the test? Have you ever prayed about something and asked God to do something for you that was challenging? I mean, Lord, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray my soul the Lord to keep, and if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. That's an easy little prayer. But have you ever asked God to do something for you that was challenging as far as you were concerned? God, here's a need. God, here's what I'd like to see you do, and I know you're able to do it. God, I'd like to see you. Put God to the test. Bless him and watch what he's able to do. Now, I'm not telling you that every time you do that, you turn around now and say, oh, the preacher said that, I'm going to do that. No, you've got to have a consistent life to do it. You've got to have a walk with God to be on grounds to talk to God. You know, when Abraham back there in Genesis 19 said, Lord, if there be 45 righteous, will you spare the city? Abraham could sit there and talk with God because he had a righteous life to back it up. He wasn't some non-church attending, non-church going, you know, rudimentary Christian wrong, like the world sees today, and then says, well, I asked God to do something, he didn't do it. Well, duh. You've got to have the life to back it up. You've got to be blessing him so that he'll bless you. The Bible says here in Psalm 134 that God is able to bless. He's the God that made heaven and earth. Is there anything too hard for him? David says, bless him. Bless him. I like the message. I'll close with this. I heard a black preacher, and I've referred to this before. He preached years ago. He preached his wife's funeral. E.V. Hill, black preacher in Los Angeles, California, Baptist preacher. He preached his wife's funeral. He preached from Job chapter 1. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And he preached that sermon. I wish everybody could hear it. I used to listen to that sermon while I was traveling, preaching somewhere else. I'd listen to that sermon on my way because it'd get me fired up. I was ready to preach after listening to that. And it got loud. He was, at the end of the sermon, he was just shouting. His wife got cancer. And they were very close. They were married a long time, and he recounted a lot of things that happened in their marriage over the years they were married. He'd been as a black preacher and standing for the truth and not joining all of the black organizations and all that kind of stuff. His life was threatened more than one time, and they planted a bomb in his car and all this different kind of stuff happened. And he and his wife made it through life together like that, and then she died of cancer. And he talked about at the funeral how God said, "Trust me. Trust me." He was praying his wife would get healed. God said, "Trust me." And he says in the sermon, he says, obviously, when God said, "Trust me," I knew that meant he was going to heal her. Because he told me to trust him. And so he was going to heal her. But she died. And he learned afterward, he said, I learned that God was asking me to trust him with her out of my sight as much as I could trust him with her by my side. That trusting him meant trusting him in difficult circumstances. And praising him meant praising him and blessing him when everything wasn't the way we wanted it to be. David said, bless him. Bless him, all ye saints. Bless him, ye servants of God. Bless him that daily loadeth us with benefits. Let's make a practice in our lives of blessing God. Boy, it'll make us an unusual character in this world. He'll make us a testimony for the wonder of our God and who He is. Bless the Lord, all ye His servants. Let's stand together tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Father, thank you for the reminder and the